Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Farmtown by Evergreen FS. FS Farmtown is a resource for lawn and garden products, from power equipment to mower repair and maintenance, and more. Details at evergreen-fs.com or at 1808 South Morrissey in Bloomington.
While staring out the window as you're following stay-at-home orders, you might notice trees and shrubs beginning to leaf out. It's a welcome sight, a cue that spring is here. But leaves serve an important purpose as well. This is WGLT's gardening podcast, Grow, with our expert Patrick Murphy from ISU's School of Biological Sciences. He's also curator of the Fell Arboretum. I'm Mike McCurdy. Patrick, thanks for joining us by phone as we keep our physical distance during the coronavirus crisis.
Thanks for setting it all up, Mike. Great talking to you.
So I'm going to ask a why is the sky blue kind of questions. I know leaves are green because of chlorophyll, but why are leaves shaped differently and differently sized?
Some of them are shaped to attract pollinators and living things that are beneficial to that plant, similar to how flowers do that. Some are differently sized because the great big leaf surface of a philodendron in the jungle, it's able to capture enough sunlight because of its enormous leaf surface. So it's all the little nuances of their culture and their habitat.
So leaves help in the feeding and growth of the plant. Can we talk a little bit about photosynthesis, how it works?
Well, photosynthesis is the process of the plant creating energy for cellular development by combining the water, sunlight, and the sugars and starches, and it helps the plant kind of run its little factories that put those cells in order row after row that account for the growth in all parts of the plant.
And we eat these leaves, all kinds of leaves. Sometimes we eat them for medicinal purposes. Before we talk about the leaves we eat for food, let's hit on the medicine part of that.
I'm most fascinated by plant medicines that are direct derivatives. So the best example I can think of is aloe vera. You could literally find an aloe vera plant in the wild, pinch off a piece of it and smear that goo all over yourself and give yourself a expedient spa and help mitigate having too much sun exposure to your skin.
And then foxglove is also known as digitalis, which is a heart medicine. People with heart issues or anyone with heart issues probably shouldn't eat foxglove, but that's also something that is a plant that is derived, or medicine is derived from that particular plant.
That's interesting. There are just so many that I think we could probably do numerous episodes about that alone.
And then food we can eat, thyme, basil, rosemary, all kinds of leafy greens.
All kinds of leafy greens, and, you know, even I was thinking about the animals at the zoo, and they like to eat browse. And browse are the soft branches that have lots of fresh green leaves attached to them. And so it's part of nature's plan.
So all kinds of leafy greens, that would include lettuce, kale, spinach. I can't think of any
trees.
Are there trees? I can't think of any tree leaves offhand that we eat.
I can't say that I do either, Mike. Maybe we can leave that out.
Sometimes grape leaves are used to wrap other foods, and those are edible.
Dolmad, yeah, grape leaves are part of the dolmad.
And then we use leaves for shelter?
Leaves are used for shelter in tropical places more so than any other parts of the world, but think about pine thatch. But we could also find pine boughs being used for flooring above head coverage. They offer shade and concealment. You know, they might not protect you from a hailstorm, but there are lots of leafy parts that are easy to use to give us some protection from the elements.
And in our climate, when the leaves are done, they fall. Any benefit other than a workout when raking?
Well, when the leaves and all of the little bits that fall off of trees, and it happens everywhere because leaves are falling from trees and plants all the time. And as they break down, they do become part of the soil components and the soil forming process, but they also are shelter and food for some of the smallest creatures that are closest to the earth.
And they provide, go ahead.
Yeah, we get insects a lot of times that start the work when the leaf is on the tree. So there are lots of insects that have like a piercing mouth part that's a needle that's sucking juice out of the leaves, you know, like the box elder bugs that are driving everyone crazy here locally. in parts of the Midwest where the spring heat is starting to present itself, it forces these insects out. There's a whole other range of insects that eat the leaves that have fallen off of the plants. When the insects do eat on these plants, it sometimes weakens their attachment and they fall to the ground only to be finished up by some other creature.
And they provide shelter for some animals as well.
Yeah, beneficial and pest insects lay their eggs on leaf surfaces, usually in the undersides, to protect them from scavengers and from burning up in direct sunlight. Squirrels and birds use leaves specifically to build their nests in many cases.
Let's come back to shape and size of leaves. You can use the shape and size as an identifier for the plant.
Yeah, this part's fascinating to me too, because leaves can be a trait used to identify many plants. And you can narrow it down and kind of pinpoint your genus, species, and even cultivar by combining the leaf with a couple of other traits, like what the buds look like, what the flowers, what the seeds look like.
And there are so many kinds of plants and leaves. How are they organized or classified? How do we keep track of all of these different types of leaves?
Well, this is the part that is the confounding part, really. There's so many mathematical combinations, but leaves are vast in configuration, and each leaf has a horticultural vocabulary term that identifies one into the various classifications. Each leaf is assigned with the various horticultural or botanical description, and these are the leaves that are found on all plants, not just trees, not just shrubs, everything. So your deciduous plants, conifers, broadleaf palms, cacti are leafless, but there are some that have a small leaf-like structure that develops when the cacti germinates from a seed. Grasses, herbaceous plants, they all have these combinations of leaf shapes. And from this broad classification, the many leaf types are grouped into other smaller groups based on the leaf's feature, like its shape or its arrangement. So, for example, a leaf can be like a linear or lanceolate, rounded, elliptical, heart-shaped, and ovate. There are numerous other horticultural vocabulary terms that would help us pin down and identify the specific shape of a leaf.
And compound leaves are a good way to identify nut trees, is that right?
There are many nut trees that have compound leaves, but compound leaves are very, very broad, one of the broadest categories of leaf types. And there'll be little features that could be on a compound leaf, like a serrated edge, or a little like saw teeth, or a wavy edge.
And you talked about heart-shaped leaves. I think one of my favorite heart-shaped leaves is on a redbud.
Redbud leaves are just beautiful, and that leaf shape is not exclusive just to the redbud. There are other plants that are have similar names or even in the same family that have that same heart-shaped leaf. So there is such thing as the Chinese redbud. We have one on campus in the Arboretum. It has a more pronounced heart shape than the redbud that you and I are talking about. And I find that to be very appealing, too.
When it comes to leaves like pine needles, which I have never really thought of as leaves, does photosynthesis work pretty much the same way?
Exactly the same way. It's just a different structure and different shape and arrangement of the leaves, but they conduct photosynthesis pretty much the same as a traditional, say, deciduous leaf does.
And what about
absorbing the sunlight? Yeah.
And what about the cycle of dropping needles? Is it a year-round process as opposed to like a leaf drop in the fall?
Well, deciduous plants mostly are the ones that have one leaf drop where the plants abscise all the leaves and they fall to the ground. But the conifers, the cone-bearing plants, some, like the white pine, drop their needles, their entire set of needles, two times in one growing season, in one year. And then there are other cases where they only drop them one time. And then there are even needled conifers that are dropping needles all the time.
If you have any questions about leaves or anything else in your garden or landscape, send them in, and Patrick Murphy with ISU School of Biological Sciences will answer them. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your questions to WGLT.org/grow.